Our text for today is part of the epistle lesson, 1 Corinthians 1, 26 to 31. I read it from my translation. St. Paul writes, "For all of you see your call, brothers, that not many are among the wise according to the flesh, nor are many powerful, nor are many well-born. But God chose the foolish things of the world so that he might shame the wise things. God chose the base things of the world and the things having been despised, the things that are non-existent, so that he might disable the things that are existent, so that all flesh might not boast in God's presence. From him, even all of you are in Christ Jesus, who became our wisdom from God, and also vindication, holiness, and ransom, so that as it has been written, the one boasting in the Lord should boast." Here ends our text. God's grace, mercy, and peace be with you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. One can hear a lot of boasting these days. It seems that boasting, which used to be considered a bad thing, has gained a lot of respectability in the past few decades. But humility, which is the opposite of boasting, is hardly ever heard of as being a good quality anymore. So let's look at several of our politicians and how their boasting has resulted in their being disgraced before their boasting proved not to be true. Here's a slide. On the one on the left of you is President Trump at his inaugural address. He boasted on his first day of office in 2017, "I made a speech. I looked out. The field was, it looked like a million and a half people." But yet, look at these two pictures. Does the one on the left look like a million to a million and a half people compared to the one on the right? The one on the right is of President Obama's 2009 inauguration. The estimated size of that crowd was 1.8 million people, while Trump's inaugural crowd size was estimated at between 300,000 and 600,000 people. Boasting. Next slide. But boasting is something that both sides of the political fence can be ashamed of. Back in 1987, when President Biden was a candidate for president at that time, his campaign largely came to an end because of his boasting and his lying in his boast. As Michael D. Shear and Linda Quee wrote in the October 10, 2022 issue of the New York Times, during his first presidential run in 1987, "Mr. Biden said he went to law school on a full academic scholarship, bragged that he ended up in the top half of his law school class, and insisted that he graduated with 3 degrees from undergraduate school. In fact, as he later admitted, he had only a partial scholarship, was 76th out of a class of 85 law school students, and graduated with 1 bachelor's degree with a double major in history and political science. He was 9th from the bottom of his class." So boasting, especially when a boast is really a lie, often will have unintended consequences that lead to people thinking that the person is a lying braggart. But even if what one is boasting about is true about yourself, it really is nothing to be boasting about in the first place, as it will not always have the best result. You still become known as a boaster. But let's look at what St. Paul has to tell us about being a Christian and about boasting. St. Paul writes something that is true about the church in Corinth and is probably true of this church as well. He says, "For all of you see your call, that not many are among the wise according to the flesh, not many are powerful, not many are well born. Would you say that there are many members of this church who are wise according to the flesh? That phrase, wise according to the flesh, means to be worldly wise. And we hear about those worldly wise characters who sometimes start with nothing in their pocket, through hook and crook, end up being among the most richest and most powerful and most well-known people in the world. Take this guy that's going to be up there. Recently, Sam Bankman-Fried, the founder of the FTX cryptocurrency scheme, has served as a reminder that those in the upper echelons of our society, people many would seek to imitate, are oftentimes nothing but crooks. He had billions of dollars, and now he can't find it, and he's already in jail and awaiting potential. I think he's had charges, and probably there will be a trial. No, I doubt that very few in this church are like him and wise according to the flesh. As much as the worldly wise, the powerful, and the well-born have to boast about in this world, unless they have been chosen by God to be glorified in the coming world, they have nothing to really boast about. Unless they have been chosen by God, the millionaires, dictators, and nobility of this world will be ashamed of their riches, power, and worldly honor when they appear before God on the judgment day. But a lot of those who are chosen by God, who are considered to be foolish, weak, base, despised nobodies in this world, God thinks differently about them. And doesn't that include most of us? The worldly wise would consider us to be fools to work at the white collar or blue collar jobs we have or did have. They would say, there's too little profit and too many hours to put into that kind of work. I could take what you have and make it a fortune. But on the last day, those of us who are fools, weaklings, and base, despicable nobodies compared to the wise, powerful, and well-born in this world, we will be in the majority of those who are chosen by God to share his new earthly kingdom with in the next world. We will be given riches, power, and honor beyond the wildest imagining of those who today are rich, powerful, and honored. Why? Because we have a treasure greater than the wisdom of the worldly wise. The worldly wise may know the tricks required to work one's way to the top in this world, but their wisdom does not tell them how to succeed in the next world. But we who believe in Christ are wise about the way of salvation. We know why God sent his Son into this world and why he had to die on the cross. We know who this Jesus was. And because of it, we believe in him, for we know that we thereby have eternal life. Christ is our vindication or righteousness. In this world, our buying power seems to be going down weakly. They say that the middle class is going downhill, while the top 1% is accumulating a greater amount of this world's wealth. The strong in this world, the wealthy, the oil companies and energy companies and so on, know how to get more and more money and how to use their power to prevent the elected officials from alleviating the situation. But we will be vindicated. Our complaints will be heard by Jesus, and he will more than repay us for the damages we've suffered here. Honor, power and riches will be ours eternally as we are with Christ in his new heaven and new earth. The devil and his disciples, who have done so much to oppose us, will suffer eternally for the wrongs they've done to us, God's people. Christ is our holiness. We are the fools, weaklings, and base, despicable nothings of this world. We cannot of our own self ever seek to claim the title of saint. But Christ came to this earth and lived a holy life. It was perfect. He healed, taught, and helped people solely because of his love of God and people. When we are baptized into his name, we are baptized in his innocent blood. And by faith, his holiness becomes our holiness. Finally, on this last slide, we see about ransoms. Well, Christ is our ransom. We see these two people. In the news the past few weeks, it's talked about how the basketball player Brittany Griner was exchanged for a convicted international arms dealer, Victor Bout. And it's renewed our realization that some countries use our citizens as a ransom in order to get what they want. In this case, Victor Bout out of our prisons and back into Russia. So our understanding of what a ransom is has been increased because of that incident and realizing that it still happens. As Christians, we realize that a ransom has been paid for our release as well. Christ is our ransom from the devil. We were Satan's hostage. He had tricked our first parents, Adam and Eve, into sin, so that every human being since then has been born as Satan's hostage. But Christ is our ransom. That ransom payment was more than that paid for by any other hostage ever taken. Just how much is a person's life worth? And what if that person is also the Almighty God? God in Christ Jesus died to free us from the bondage of Satan. He rose from the dead to show that death was no longer going to hold us in its bonds either. What a treasure. Christ is our treasure. He is our wisdom, our vindication, our holiness, and our ransom. He will be our treasure into eternity. Now that is something to boast about. The billionaires, power brokers, and purebred people of the world really have nothing to boast about because it's going to be gone, and in 100 years from now, they'll just be footnotes in some textbook. But we, the foolish, weak, base, despised nobodies of this world who are in Christ Jesus, we have everything to boast about. As our text says, the one boasting in the Lord should boast. Yet, what do we often end up boasting about? Our children, grandchildren, accomplishments, and other little things that we little people in the world are proud about. But if we boasted of the Lord more to others, rather than boasting of ourselves and our families, there might be more believers in the world. No matter how much you boast about yourselves to others, they won't believe you are God. But if you boast about Jesus Christ, God has promised that some will come to believe that Jesus is God. Isn't it great? The greatest thing in the world that there is to boast about is ours already. Being able to boast of our relationship with Christ and of how he has saved us so that we can live forever with him in heaven, that really is something to boast about. We may not have much to boast about according to this world, but we have much more to boast about due to the eternity we get to spend in the next world with that one that we've deserved to boast about. Amen. And now may the peace that surpasses all human understanding stand guard over your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Please rise. Now we have the chance to boast about our God in the words of the Nicene Creed. Let us boast. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and suffered in man, and was crucified also for us in the conscious heaven. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father and the Son.
And he will come out again to glory, to judge both the living and the dead,
whose kingdom will have the hand of heaven. And I believe in the Holy Spirit,
the Lord and the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who is spoken by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins.